And that is it. So Liverpool, back to business. We knew they would be under Arne Slot. Some great moments tonight. Florian Wirtz, his first two assists for Liverpool. Andy Robertson returning to the side. A brilliant assist. Frankfurt took the lead when a counter-attack and Rasmus Christensen scored. But a sumptuous through ball by Robertson. And Ekitike, great touch, great pace, great finish on his return to Frankfurt. Then we say Liverpool never score from corners. They scored two from corners. Virgil van Dijk headed home. Then Ibu Konate headed home. Then in the second half, Cody Gakpo scored with an excellent assist from Wirtz. Wirtz also set up Szoboszlai to blast in. The goalkeeper, by the way, for Frankfurt Zetterer was brilliant. He made some great saves tonight to deny Bradley, Isak and company. Liverpool back in business. Really good night this. Frankfurt 1, Liverpool 5.
Steve Hunter wrapping up a five-star performance over in Germany. Liverpool ran out 5-1 winners over Eintracht Frankfurt in match day 3 of the Champions League. We will be getting the thoughts of Arne Slot and Curtis Jones shortly here on The Reaction. I'm Becky Davis and I was joined in the studio by Neil Mellor and Jay Spearing. Plus, we got contributions from Gareth Roberts, Dan Morgan and Kyle Miles from the Kansas City official Liverpool supporters club. It feels great, doesn't it, to get back to winning ways and to do it in style as well, Jay?
Yeah, it does. You know, especially after the weekend, it was a difficult one to take the weekend, you know, with everything that went on and losing, especially to Manchester United. To go away to Frankfurt, away from home, in any Champions League game is difficult. But the way that, you know, to go a goal behind, you could probably say, you know, was that could really put a little bit more pressure on the players? But we didn't see it. We had full control for the game for me. We just seemed a lot more clinical and a lot more fluent in our possession, in our passing, in the way that we wanted to play. And, you know, a lot of positives considered individually and the collective.
It's important to make that point about going a goal behind, because I think it's easy the way the game pans out to kind of forget that. But, you know, in the middle of a tough run away from home, you concede the first goal. It's a test of character a bit, that.
I felt as though it was a performance we know has been there this season, but we haven't seen it. And that was the first time we've seen that this season. It's an emphatic response. I think that's the big thing. There's been a lot of noise about three defeats in a row, and then it was four defeats in a row. But I never felt we were playing that badly, to think that we were sort of losing those games. Didn't felt as though we deserved them, but the response was there. When you are on that sort of a run and then you go a goal behind, Jay mentioned it there, the character from the boys to go, we need to step up, and the boys did step up. And an area where perhaps we haven't been at our best is set pieces. But and even before we scored the couple of goals, we didn't look like scoring from them, but the lads did. And it was nice to watch the second half relaxed.
I never felt in doubt.
And I said to you, I think before the show, I felt as though some games a little bit fortunate maybe to have won some early, a little bit unlucky to have lost some. That's the game we've wanted to see all season, and we got to see it. And the good thing about that was, yes, we win a Champions League game, we get back to winning ways. We also reserved a little bit of energy because we have a game coming round very quickly against Bournemouth on Saturday. Against Brentford. I'll get it right third time.
go for the Prem if you want.
But that would help as well. So great night.
I think that the performance is almost as critical as the result, isn't it? Because, you know, you get the result and that's great, but the spring in the step and the confidence, that second half were good and totally in control, Jay.
Yeah, I think, you know, for me, I think if you look at a few individuals, I think they've played well this season. I think Curtis has probably played himself into the team. And I thought he was exceptional tonight. I thought him and Domislav Slai controlled the whole game. I thought the levels that they played at were well above, you know, they were Champions League elite for me. I think Ekitike and them, the bits he's shown as well, you know, coming short, going long. As a whole collective, I felt the team just seemed to, with everything that's going on and all the talk from outside, you would never know that team had lost the three previous games in the way that we controlled it from start to finish and how clinical we were. I agree with Neil. I think over the last couple of games, we've seen large glimpses of what we've seen tonight. We just weren't as clinical in our finishing, you know, and killing teams off and getting ourselves back into games. But as a whole collective tonight, you know, from even the subs that came on and came on, I felt that it was a bit of a statement to say that, listen, we are here, we are playing well. We just haven't been, you know, our usual end product selves we'll be creating chances to go and kill teams off.
I think that was a mixture of the lads wanting to respond. I think Szoboszlai, we saw an interview from him saying, listen, we've spoken about this, we're going to put this right eventually, and they did put it right tonight. Jay's mentioning there about the balance of the team, and the balance felt right. We saw a new system, a bit old school in terms of the 4-4-2. We wondered, could we get Isak and Ekitike into the team? The manager managed to do that, but Wirtz as well, and sort of Wirtz had the freedom to roll about rather than just sort of staying on that right hand side. Gakpo out on the left, no Gravenberch today, and you were thinking, well, Curtis will have to step up. And he did. And him and Szoboszlai were unbelievable, but it was a real team performance. The balance was there. Really enjoyed it.
Yeah, we'll speak about the individuals in a moment, but just from you on the system, because we were chatting pre-match trying to work out how everyone would fit in. What did you make of the way that it flowed?
Do you know what? I really liked it, because with Wirtz on the right-hand side, he's not your natural, you know, right-hand winger. He's one that will float into the pocket on the side. So it give Frimpong, for the first part of the game, that licence to be our main width down that side. And even with Conor Bradley coming on, it gives them the opportunity to run up and down that outside area. Gives Wirtz the pockets to fall in. And I actually quite liked, obviously, you're more into it, more decisive than I am. As centre-forwards, you know, you had the balance of Isak running in behind and then Hugo Ekitike being able to come into the pockets in between. And I've seen that seemed to cause Frankfurt a lot of problems. But I think the two midfielders, they are natural. They want the ball all the time, you know, and to have that passing range that Dom can bring, the Curtis playing balls between the lines, having Robertson back in that left-back position as well. He had a little bit more of a balance of, you know, saving Gakpo and just supporting rather than maybe getting around. I just felt that, you know, the dynamics of the team seem to flow a little bit more. And, you know, they seem to trigger off each other. So, you know, if someone ran in behind, someone comes short. If there's too many in the inside, they go wide. It just seems to flow with a lot more, what's the word I'm looking for? A lot more precision, and the passing and the quality just seemed to gel tonight, and I liked how it worked.
It was a good night and an important night for many, but to pick out some individuals, I'll come to you for Florian Wirtz, because I know how much of a fan of him you are. Two assists for him, first kind of official assists, if you like, of the season, got one in the Community Shield, but looked like he enjoyed himself being back in his homeland.
No surprise. We all know how talented a player he is. Maybe a bit of frustration as well, the fact he's been on the bench for Chelsea and United, thinking, what am I doing here? But we saw a player who wanted to influence the game, and did influence the game, got in all kinds of difficult positions to be picked up. He will receive the ball anywhere. At times he'll give the ball away, but his weight of pass, his awareness around him, the chances he created, people will talk about the assists, but it's the other chances he creates along with that. And to have two strikers with Wirtz in behind, you're thinking, we're going to get chances, and we certainly did. So he was a joy to watch, but the balance of the team enabled him to really get on the ball and make those, because he knew he had Szoboszlai behind him, Curtis Jones.
I think his position as well draws out, because people are concentrating that much on Wirtz and don't want him on the ball. If he goes and picks up a pocket, the defender's automatically going to go and, you know, go tight to him. That leaves a space in behind for Isak or Ekitike to run into. So he does a lot of, like, probably unsung hero work, where, like, you know, he's occupying players there. He knows he's not going to get the ball, but he's going to draw people out into different positions.
He's absolute quality, though, isn't he, Joe? We've seen so much about his intelligence, if you like, and he will be pleased to have a little bit of end product in terms of an assist, two assists.
Yeah, personally for him, it's going to be a huge milestone, because, you know, from the moment that he came in, the price tag that he came in with, you know, people are always going to scrutinise him and be looking at him for, you know, to hit the ground running. He's took a little bit longer, which is absolutely fine. He's still a young lad. You know, he's adapting to a new country, a new league, a new style of play. I think what he's probably going to have to adapt to going forward as well is the fact that, you know, people are going to try and stop him playing, and how they're going to do that is they're going to be aggressive with him. You know, they're going to try and get in his face. They're going to be tight. They're going to kick him. So he's going to have to try and adapt to being able to, you know, get on with that, and try and find pockets to make the ball and move the ball quicker. But listen, his passing range, his weight of pass for the assist for the first one, he's made the keeper think he can get there, but he knows he's got no chance of getting it. And yeah, as a personal thing for him, he's got two assists, and I'm sure now he'll gain a lot of confidence from that going forward.
Yeah, big night for him. Someone who has been absolutely on it from the very start of the season, Dominic Szoboszlai, again tonight, gets the assist for Ibu Konate from the corner, and then gets his own goal in some style, Mels.
Yeah, I felt as though I was watching Szoboszlai enjoy himself playing in the position he wants to play tonight. You know,
he's not his best one.
I think so. Yeah, I think so. I think he's a box-to-box midfielder. He can run all day long. He likes to get on the ball and play those little diagonal balls out to the right, out to the left. yeah, he really did contribute. He gets an assist from the corner. It's a great ball in, but the strike for the goal, he creates other chances as well. I thought his understanding with Curtis Jones about where they need to be in terms of the balance of the team. I think there was a few examples where Frankfurt occasionally looked to break, and again, he's got the energy to make sure that he's getting back to stop that counter-attack. I think there was one example, second half, might have been 4-1, whatever the score was, and he's sort of in that right-back position where he's filling in to make sure there's no ball in behind.
I think it's the build-up to Cody's goal, wasn't it?
That's what it was.
He wins it back, yeah. And then he eventually puts that pass to Wirtzen, doesn't he? But yeah. The work rate is phenomenal from him.
He's another unsung hero for me. You know, I don't think people realise if you did a heat map on him tonight, he probably covered nearly all of the pitch.
We've got his pass map, actually. Okay, is that good enough? Do you want to see that one? Let's have a look. This is his pass map, Dominic Szoboszlai. I mean, he's all over the place in the very best way, Jeff.
Yeah, and look at the successful pass, 91%. You know, as a midfielder in a Champions League game, it's an incredibly high stat to have. And they're like them passing. And what you're noticing that as well, not many are backwards. You know, he's always looking forward. He always wants to penetrate the back line. He's looking to play and combine, you know, playing out to the side, give the players the time on the ball. He wants to get in the box. I thought, for me, he's been one of our best players this season.
Yeah.
And you probably look back to last season as well, you know, playing that 10 position when he was pressing. He set the tone of the press. He'd done such hard work off the ball that when he was on the ball, people then question, you know, did he bring goals or did he bring assists? But if he control games like that, for me, I'll happily leave him in a deeper position.
Yeah, let him get on with it. While we're staying with the midfield, let's have a look at Curtis Jones's pass map, I think. I think he made the most successful passes tonight. Jay picked him out as one of his highlights tonight. Mel, do you feel the same?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a touch map, my apologies.
Yeah, there we go. There's a touch map. I've watched Curtis Jones this season, and you've seen him training. I feel as though he's really matured.
Yeah.
As a person and as a player, and you sort of see that in his performance today. You know, Ryan Gravenberch was missing, and you're thinking straight away Curtis Jones will come into that midfield, and he has done. And the touches is he's in his own half, securing the ball off the defenders when he needs to. I think there was one time where he lost it in the first half, but then he's quickly trying to recover. I feel as though, again, you talk about Szoboszlai with his ability to work hard and press. I think Curtis is similar in that ability. So whilst we're looking at the touches there, I think the way he covers the pitch with how he works for the team as well to win the ball back is really important for Liverpool.
So I think Curtis as well, it's difficult for Curtis because the manager likes Ryan Gravenberch. You know, he plays as that deep line player. He's brought in Wirtz, McAllister, Dom, you know, Echetike can also play as a 10. So, you know, Curtis had to like fight his way in to prove the point in the play that he is. By the way, he's an unbelievable player. Mm. So for him to know that all these players are coming in, still prove the levels that he's at, I think he's unbelievable. I generally think he's underrated.
And to keep his sharpness and fitness.
Yeah.
You know, if you're not playing every game to get that rhythm, it's not easy. But you could see that he looked fit.
Yeah.
He got himself about. He didn't look like he hadn't started a few games.
Like he's not let that knock him. You know, he's not let all these
and
players come
hard,
in.
And that's hard, isn't it?
Yeah, you of know, course it is. You know, he wants to play for his boyhood club.
Yeah.
He supports Liverpool. He's a massive Liverpool fan. He's playing for his team. And when these players come in, listen, we're one of the biggest clubs in the world. It's always going to be a thing that happens. But he's not letting it knock him. He knows his ability. He backs his ability. We all know that well. And he, you know, tonight I was absolutely delighted for him and the performance he put in, because following on from Sunday when he came on, I felt he changed the game as well.
You know,
with us in possession and even out of possession. But he's also seemed to be a little bit of an easy scapegoat where people like to, you know, question his, you know, what he's doing. Is he taking too many touches? But that's the type of player that he is. You know, he wants to bring people in to play short things, 1-2 around the corners, and then play them passes through the lines. So yeah, I thought he was brilliant tonight.
Okay, we're going to get the thoughts of our guests on Zoom now. Let's bring in Gareth Roberts. We'll start with yourself, Gareth. Like us here in the studio, it feels good, doesn't it, to have the winning feeling back and do it in style as well?
Yeah, it feels fantastic. A real sort of reset from the last few games, and I think now I can safely turn the television and the radio on and maybe even look at a newspaper, because I think since the Man United game, I've pretty much been avoiding everything, because I knew what it'd be saying, and I knew what it'd be, you know, the lines about Liverpool and the signings and the manager and all the rest of it, and I just didn't have the headspace for it, to be honest. So I'm sure I'm not the only fan out there who's like had a big sigh of relief tonight, and like the lads were saying in the studio there, it did feel at times that you saw in Liverpool's play that this could happen, this was coming. I think the manager was bold with his selection tonight, and I think he's now got a good selection headache for the next game in terms of, you know, a game what some of the lads were talking about there. I thought Curtis Jones was outstanding. I think he's been unlucky to have not already been in the side. I thought as a player that didn't go on international duty, it would have made a lot of sense for him to start against Manchester United. So I was surprised when he didn't. Hopefully now he'll get a little run in the team because I think he deserves it. And I thought he was excellent tonight, as I say. Ekitike, another one where I was quite frankly stunned he didn't start against Manchester United. Great to see him tonight. Good goal, full of confidence. And I think we've brought a real player there. And, you know, we know that he was well chased in the Premier League and elsewhere. And you can see why. And I think, you know, we talk a lot, don't we, about transition to new leagues, new countries and all the rest of it. He looks like he's been playing here for years, and you know, he really gets you off your seat. So yeah, I can't wait to see more from him. And yeah, a brilliant night for Liverpool and a brilliant night to be a Liverpool fan, which is not been the case for the last couple of weeks.
But it definitely is back, that feeling tonight, isn't it? Let's go to Dan Morgan. Dan, I think, you know, it's easy to say the result pleased us, but what pleased you most about the performance that you've seen tonight?
I think as much as the individual and the collective performances of the team, Becky, I think it's more the fact that we had the scoreboard on our side for the large part of the game, as opposed to the last three or four games where we've just been fighting it completely. And look, I don't think Liverpool have been great when they've been at 1-1 in any of the past three league games. I think they've been quite poor, even if they've only been in small phases. But you just get to see they ride a bit of a storm tonight, first 5 minutes. And then they get on top, and it's a bit of a messy transition that they end up in terms of the first goal they concede. It's a low quality shot that they concede from, and you just think, oh, here we go again. But they respond, and you know, I think Hugo does great for the first goal, just getting across the defender, using his pace. He gives the defender a decision: you're going to bring me down, you're going to get a red card, or I'm going to go across you and slot it. And you know, it's great to see him just have that composure. And then, you know, getting in 3-1 at half-time, Liverpool just then, they control the second half, and you then get to see the players like Florian Wirtz start to enjoy it a little bit more because again, we've got the scoreboard on our side. That means the opposition has to come out. They have to press. They have to go looking for something. Therefore, you know, the spaces will open up the other way, and we haven't had that. You know, we've seen where We've conceded a goal early in the past few games, and a team has just sat in that low bank of five and said, you break us down. And if it's not happened for us, then it's been really, really difficult and frustrating, as Sunday was. So I think just collectively for all of them now, they can breathe a bit of a sigh of relief and get to say, okay, you know, we enjoyed that. It was good. You know, it was really, really good. There was partnerships being built across the pitch, and hopefully they can take that into Brentford on Saturday, which won't be a nice game either, to be fair.
No, more to come on Brentford a little bit later on in the show, but we'll go to Kyle, who's been waiting patiently in Kansas City for your turn, Kyle. Just maybe echoing what Dan said there about nice to be able to see the team play the football that they want to play and have that control in the second half.
Yeah, I agree with Dan. I mean, it's nice not to... Well, we were chasing the game for a couple of minutes when we conceded early, but not chasing a game for the entire game like we have been the last couple of weeks. I think aside from just generally being confident, having a good performance, I was also excited just to see the types of goals we scored, right? Ekitike's fast break, a couple of good set piece goals from Virg and Konate. Obviously, Szoboszlai had a great hit, and Wirtz did well on both assists for his and Gapko's. So, knowing that we've got that in our locker and can score those types of goals, I think is a real source of encouragement. Time will tell, right? We've got Brentford this weekend, Palace in the League Cup, and then Villa the following weekend. So I think when we come up against sturdy competition, it'll be interesting to see, can we kind of replicate this form? But I think all around encouraging. Players played well. No one had a bad game. And I think more so than that, we've kind of shot ourselves in the foot, not just with conceding goals, but kind of conceding soft goals, right? It's not like we've been getting beat with, you know, worldies and things like that. We've kind of been sloppy in defense and transitions and different phases of play. So, yeah, all around good performance and 5 stars today.
Thank you very much, Kyle. I think that the set piece chat is interesting because it's something that the boss has spoken about extensively, that he wants to improve on Mel's, and he will be pleased tonight, I imagine, with what he's seen.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. I do think we are a threat from set pieces, and we haven't scored enough from them or caused maybe enough problems from them. But Konate and Van Dijk, you always fancy them to to create problems for the opposition, and nice to see them getting the goals. Delivery, I think that's always important, which did certainly come in for both of those goals. But also defensively, you know, I don't think, did Frankfurt have a shot in the second half? They might have had one shot. So as much as we're talking about our set pieces, they had the odd set piece themselves, but I felt as though we looked assured defensively. And I think that's important to mention, because we scored five goals tonight. Probably if we were ruthless and clinical, it would have been 10, by the way. So if we've not just scored five, we could have had a lot more goals than we actually did score, which is also encouraging. But defensively, when they're at home, and they know Liverpool are in town, it's 3-1. We were the ones who started that second half, and we put the game to bed and controlled it, rather than allowing them to get back into the game, allowing the crowd to get back into the game. Set pieces are always important. And I think it was Kyle that mentioned it there about the different goals we scored. We scored two set pieces. We've got one from distance, Vieira's a squared one, and a brilliant goal from Ekitike, 1v1. So we showed a variety tonight of the different goals we can score.
I'm going to ask you about the set pieces, because obviously you spend a bit more time at AXA Training Centre than most of us and see the way it ticks there. So, you know, it's been high on Onslot's agenda and something he wanted to improve on. How satisfied will he be getting a couple from set pieces tonight?
I don't just think the manager will be, I think Aaron will be as well, because Aaron was obviously, you know, he's our set piece coach. But I think set pieces have always been there. It's just over the last couple of years, they've just seemed to be revelated to this now, this most important stage, because teams are now taking that much, like, you know, they've got these set piece coaches, long throwing coaches, they've got everything. The work that goes on behind the scenes is incredible. You know, Aaron, he goes through 5-6 games of previous of whoever we're playing to find out the small detail of how we obviously attacking and defending set pieces. I've had to mark Kanate and Virgil on a couple of them, and I've obviously let them go past me the
how
odd time. Yeah, I've let them go past me the odd time, you know, to win the air. Doesn't give them a bit of confidence. But no, listen, it's the detail that Aaron goes through in his team. It is like down to a single tee. And I think if you look at I think it's more the second one, when on Kanate's one, you know, the ball's whipped in. But if you notice, Dom, I think it's Cody and Robertson, they step forward and block their two main headers to make them not be able to jump. And then Kanate comes right in between them and he gets a free header. Now, they're small details that, you know, once the ball is delivered on the spot, it'll work 100 times. I felt the first couple of corners, they were a little bit floaty, you know, like they just floated in. But once Cody and Dom whipped them in with real pace, there was no way the Frankfurt players were able to do it. It was down to a tee.
Just in terms of the lift this will give the lads around the place as well, because these are not just teammates, they refer to themselves as brothers half the time, don't they? I mean, a spring in the step going into training now these next few days, and that's invaluable going back into the Premier League at the weekend.
Yeah, do you know what? I wouldn't say that things have changed a lot, you know, in the training ground. They've still been like, you know, and the results haven't been there, but performances have. You know, so the atmosphere is... It hasn't been like, you know, everyone's not been buzzing and delighted with everything, but, you know, there hasn't been any arguments or people falling out. They know exactly, listen, they know they're world-class players. You know, we've got a fantastic manager, a fantastic squad. They're all fighting for each other. Not much has changed. It'll give them a kick of the step, but they know that they can put that performance out, you know, and all it is now is a consistent basis of doing that. Shutting up shop and making sure that we're more solid defensively, and then we're going forward, be more clinical. That's the type of players that we've got, and that's the squad that we've got. So it will give them, of course, it will give them confidence. Every player gains confidence from a win.
Well, that's the thing with, I suppose, with your coach's head on. You think you can be on the training pitch working on things all day long, but it's the confidence that comes from getting a run of results together.
100%, I totally agree. You know, on the field, if you go out and there's a game plan, and, you know, your set pieces, your defensive work, your rotations on the pitch, if they all work, you'll come off the pitch thinking, wow, you know, brilliant. That performance for me has been a long time coming, being very in a very privileged situation that I can see them on a daily basis of how they work and what the detail that they go through to get them things to work and to plan. But then also the players that they know, if they do them things to 100% and they do them day after day after day after day, they will come off in games. And it's just been a matter of time of that working, and that's why the confidence for me hasn't been shook, but they will gain a lot of confidence from obviously getting the end product tonight.
I think also you've got to remember that the international break, the players have been all around the world, that United came,
yes,
game came around, didn't have a lot of time to prepare for that one. So some players might have been in the building 1-2 days, whatever it was. They had that poor result. We could have been sat there after that game thinking we'd beat them 5-1. With the chances that we had, that's how close it was in terms of the chances we created. We didn't take them, but as a player, you want the game to come very quickly when you get beat, and getting beat to United, the players would have been desperate for that game to come around very quickly.
Yeah, of course.
So quick turnaround, got that result, and then they've got to go at it again for Saturday's game.
Let's go through some of the key moments. We'll start with the goal that obviously they get, Jay, Frankfurt. 26 minutes on the clock when Rasmus Christensen, he's not closed down and obviously drives it across the goal and it goes in off the post, but just what we didn't need at the time.
Yeah, I think, you know, the game was frantic to start with for the first couple of minutes. We expected that being away from home, especially with the results that have been in the previous games. I do think it came against the run of play, but I probably expected that was the only way they were possibly going to score. You know, they were sitting in, they were happy to sit, and then there was on the counter-attack. I think you've seen it as it came to one side on Ibu. I think the manager's kind of say, listen, calm him down and shut him down that side. I think he'll be disappointed he was able to play a pass right through the middle of us to then go up the opposite side. And like you say, from today, I think it was maybe 5-6 touches he took in our 18-yard box. That will also probably be a disappointment, not just from the manager, but from the defensive line as well. They weren't able to get closer and block the shot. But again, you have to give the player credit that he's able to find it right through Robertson's legs, which is quite lucky, but it's come off the post and gone in.
I think Dan mentioned, didn't he, on the fans panel there, saying it didn't feel like a big chance. It felt like a low percentage chance.
Yeah.
And when it hit the post and gone, you're thinking, why didn't that do for us on Sunday? We hit the post.
Fine margins.
Yeah, but that's what happens with the post. Sometimes you're thinking it can hit the post, come back out, and they got that little bit of luck, you're thinking, not again.
Well, luckily it wasn't again. Because it finished 5-1, so it doesn't matter. But let's speak about Hugo Ekitike returning to Horns' old side, if you like. Very respectful, as you would expect in his celebration. But it's a nice ball, wasn't it, by Andy Robertson to put him through?
Yeah, I think Robertson, for me, I think his head goes up straight away. You know, he knows he's got time. But I think if you see Hugo's run as well, he realises that there's space and he sets off before the ball's even played. So it makes it really easy for Robertson. But the weight of the pass and the detail of it to obviously bend it round the defender and slide him in, and then the rest is down to Hugo, his pace, his power. And I think that the panel mentioned it before, the touch to take it across the defender, it kills him, you know, it cuts him out the game. It's either he brings him down as 10 men, but then a split composure, listen, I'll take my time and I'll finish it. And the respect of the fans holding his hands up, and yeah, I get that. But for me, he's fantastic and he deserved that goal.
Yeah,
you know, with his performance in the first 30 minutes as well.
You're not surprised about how high their defensive line was with the pace that we have going forward there, because it's one ball from Andy Robertson and you're always going to fancy Ekitike with the pace he has.
Yeah, I felt it was a little bit like, again, you kind of wanted them to come out and have a passage of play, because you wanted them to feel as if, oh, look, we can play, and then, you know, they want to attack. And I felt that was always going to be probably our way of maybe going against them, because in that low block, it's quite difficult. They were happy to sit on the edge of the box as a 5-4-1. It's always harder to break teams down, which we know. But we've given them a passage of play, think they can do it. OK, they maybe played a decent pass, but once Robertson played in Ekitike, there's only one outcome for me.
I think what I liked about that goal was he gets across the defender and he shows that confidence. I think we'd missed a couple of chances before. Conor Bradley's header was saved. Isak had that chance. Now, this is a lad who would have been disappointed he was on the bench. I think Gareth mentioned it, didn't he, that he was really surprised he didn't start against United. And sometimes when you get into you might snatch at that chance. You know, he's there at Frankfurt, he gets in front of his old mates. The composure and calmness he shows is absolutely incredible. He looked like a top-class centre-forward bursting through, and you always fancied him to score. And he's gained that already in the few games he's been here at Liverpool. Yeah. You think, fancy him. He's gained that reputation.
He finishes, Jay, with the composure and calmness of someone with experience way beyond his actual years.
Yeah, and that's something I've seen even in every game he's played. I think, you know, a couple of his goals have all been quite composed. Like, they haven't been rushed. You know, I know he's going at speed. Again, he's going at full speed there. Mm. You know, he hasn't slowed down. When he's cut across the defender, he hasn't slowed down to let the defender get back and think, you know what, I'll take a little bit of time. He's going at full pace. And like you say, that split second of calmness to know the keeper's rushing out as well, by the way, right at speed at him as well, to compose it right through his legs. Yeah, I think it shows a player beyond his years, but also a player that's willing to prove a point.
Yeah, he did get a standing ovation from the Frankfurt fans when he left, so I think they forgave him for that goal. But let's have a look at the goal that put Liverpool back in front. So Virgil van Dijk gets this from Cody Gakpo's corner. He's almost left alone by the Frankfurt defence, which is never a great idea with Virgil.
No, he times it really well, doesn't he, the run to connect with the goal. I think you mentioned about certain blockers. I felt as though Andy Robertson influenced the goalkeeper. He was a little bit unsure to come. But if you're going to leave somebody like that a free header, if you're not going to block someone, Virgil van Dijk, and it's difficult because he's such a threat, but it felt like a relief when he scored that, because I felt as though set pieces is something we haven't made the most of this season, and that was really pleasing to see us score that goal, and I felt relaxed at that moment. Yeah, when we went in front, I felt like, oh, right, I can enjoy this a little bit more.
Yeah, it's been a while since maybe we felt relaxed. I mean, just in terms of how much of a threat Virgil is, Jay, all five of his Champions League goals for Liverpool have been headers from corners. 30 goals in total across all competitions. 26 of those have been headers.
Do you know what I think it is as well? I think it's how the foreign teams defend corners. They seem to have their best headers of a ball in the zonal area. So if you look quick, obviously the picture, like being able to see a replay, but that's their two centre-halves who are stood on the line. Now, Mel's will be able to tell you as well as a footballer, a running jump rather than a standing jump, you are going to beat that man all day long.
Yeah.
You, do you know what I mean? So to let him, Virgil, be not probably man-marked by a striker that doesn't really want to be there defending the box, or defend, especially trying to block Virgil, and then having your best headers on that 6-yard line, there's always going to be one outcome, and it's going to be him winning the header. He wanted that ball more than anybody else in that moment there. Same with Ibu on the second one. So the presence, and you can see Robertson as well, he's nudged the defender to put him off, and even Ibu's waiting on the background. He seems alert there to go and see him, to win the second phase if he needs it. But yeah, he's such a threat. He's a man mountain. He wants it more than anybody else, and it's a deserved goal after, you know, a couple of difficult results, but he's led by example throughout the night as well.
Well, Ibu might have been ready and waiting for that one, but he did get his goal not too long after that to make it 3-1. Again, almost walked through the Frankfurt defence. It was Dominic Szoboszlai's corner who tees him up.
Opposite side, wasn't it, this time?
Yeah.
The right wing position, outswinging ball from Szoboszlai. And this was a really important moment in the game, this, because at 2-1, Frankfurt felt as though they're still in the game. This was right at the stroke of half-time. And just that two-goal cushion just gives you that little bit of a breathing space, and we've known the last few games, I think it was mentioned, wasn't it, from maybe Dan again, about the scoreboard's not been in our favour. It felt like a big moment to go two goals in front and have a cushion, knowing the threats that we have, and that was just on the stroke of half time. Pleased for Konaté as well, because you know, Van Dijk gets his,
he's had a few chances this season.
Yes.
Yeah.
Konaté, you know, he's been a good moment, like the Burnley one from 2-3 yards out. He's a threat because, like you say before, Virgil brings that much attention to himself in the Premier League because he's that clinical on headers. Ibu seems to be the one that could be that spare man to go and win. Or, you know, if Virgil takes people away, Ibu can go around the front. But look at the size of our players as well. You've got Ekitike, Gakpo's a good size, Konaté, Virgil, and Isak now as well. So, you know, we probably should be doing a little bit better than from which we are now, obviously, off the back of two there.
After tonight, we asked your thoughts on set pieces. Let's get the thoughts of our Zoom panel guests. Gareth Roberts, I'll come to yourself first. Nice to get a couple of set piece goals in the bag this evening.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've got a bit of sort of an ongoing joke with my mate who I stand next to on the cop. I basically lean into him every time we've got a corner and say, Virgil, lad, because he is so good on the corners, and you know, you'd almost expect it to go into the back of the net. And we had that we've had that over the years with players, haven't we? Sammy Hippier was another one similar, where you just know if the ball's right and the jump's right, no one's stopping him, basically. And I understood the sort of the manager's frustration, really, because we were really good at them, it felt like, at one point, and then we just hadn't been getting them this season for whatever reason. So nice to get two on one night, and nice as well to sort of sow a seed of doubt in future opponents as well, because I kind of think, you know, with the run Liverpool have been on, maybe that's spirited opponents, basically. Maybe they feel like they can get at Liverpool. I mean, this is the fifth game running, isn't it, where we conceded the opening goal. And every time I'm like, why is this happening? Why are we allowing them to get at us from whistle one? And it happened again today. So hopefully, you know, this starts to turn things round mentally. And I actually wanted to ask the lads a question, if that's all right. I just wondered, you know, because they've played at the top level, you know, when you're getting a bit of a rut result-wise, can you start to overthink how you're actually playing football? So instead of it being like a natural thing, you know, do you start thinking, I'll play it safe, or I'll do this, and maybe worrying too much about your positioning or what you're doing? Because I thought against Manchester United, I saw a little thing from Kerkez where he seemed to forget how to take a throw-in. And then that's a professional footballer there. And I thought, how can that possibly happen? Or even Mo's chance against Man United, where you just expect to see the net bulge and he puts it wide. And it's like, can you overthink in football because the results maybe get here a little bit?
Ooh, who wants to take that one?
I think I wouldn't say you overthink it, but you do sometimes second guess. You know, that level that they're playing at, they're elite players. they're unbelievable players, they're unbelievable talents, but even at that level, confidence can be knocked. So you know, you don't second guess what you're doing, but I do believe that you maybe take that little split second extra to think about what your pass would be, rather than becoming like more of a natural thing. You do think, well, do you know what, I'll just maybe play one safe to build my confidence into a game. I wouldn't say it knocks them to a point where, like, you know, they don't want the ball or they don't want to play or whatever like that. I just think it becomes like a thing where you build your way into the game, and it might take you, rather than take you 5 minutes to get into a game, like you're 10, 15, and then you build your way into it. That's how I would look at it.
Yeah, I also think with age as well, with the young players, mentioning there about Kirk, because he's still young at 21, you feel as though he's still got a lot to learn. You start looking, as you get a little bit older, you get a bit more mature, a bit more belief, a bit more confidence in that. But also, these lads have shown that they're winners. So they've got that confidence to say, OK, we're having a little bit of a blip. We've been outplayed maybe in one half of football against Palace. We've not been outplayed in the four games we've been getting beat. So the confidence, they'll look around the dressing room and go, I know you can do it. I know you can do it. So they won't be doubting the teammates. And I think, right, I'm going to have to step up as well. So it always felt like a blip. I don't know whether you felt the same, Gareth, there, because even against United, I always felt they don't deserve to be beating us here. And so that's a confidence feeling for the players, but also the fans as well. Now, we'll turn this around, and it's Frankfurt tonight, and it could have easily been United at the weekend getting that absolute hammering.
Yeah, it's felt incredibly unlucky, hasn't it? And I think no one wants to hear about luck in football. But, you know, like Gakpo at the weekend, where, you know, I thought two of the efforts that if the woodwork are great efforts, they're not, you know, you can't sort of comment on them and say he's sort of got anything wrong. He's done everything he should do. And I just think he's a little bit unlucky. And then tonight, you know, one goes in off the post, their opener. And I, you know, looking at that as a fan, I'm like, you know, have we stood on something? Is there a curse on us? Is this the payback for winning the league? You know, all daft thoughts are going through my head, because it has felt there's been an element of luck to this run as well. I mean, even think about Galatasaray. I thought, you know, the penalty they got was very fortunate. Obviously, we've had... being on the end of last minute, you know, winners and things like that as well, where you've got no time to put it right and things like that. So it's been a little bit of a grim run, and I really hope this sort of sows some sunshine into Liverpool now, and we can take it into the Brentford game.
We're going to hear from Dan and Cal very shortly, but we have got some reaction from over in Frankfurt. Curtis Jones is speaking to us now.
Curtis, very well done. How pleased are you not to just have won tonight, but to have won so convincingly?
I'm very happy, actually, yeah. It's important that we came away there with a win. It was an important win. It was a win in style as well. There was very, 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 very good goals. We controlled the game as well. So, yeah, overall, I think I'm very happy, yeah.
Given the run of results, given the atmosphere here, it's a pretty hostile environment to come into. Then you fall behind. Quite easy for the game to get away from you. Didn't happen. What was key to turning things around so effectively?
Stick with the plan. I mean, saying it for a couple of weeks that our games feel as if it's like a basketball game, it's end to end a load. You know, I've came in a team there, and the thing in my mind was I want to get on the ball. I want the team to play through me. You know, I can dominate a game if I've got the ball a load, and obviously I've got Dom alongside inside of me, who's comfortable on the ball as well. So I think our goal was just get on the ball and play. And then, yeah, obviously, as you said there as well, the you know, the crowd up there as well was, you know, was amazing as well. So, you know, it was important that we kept going all the time, and we didn't let that affect our play. And you know, look at our team, you know, with the likes of Flo and Alex and Hugo up there, and Cody off the left, who's always going to score an assist. You know, I feel that we have to have the trust in them. Yeah, and that's what we did as well, and then we came away with the win, so yeah, I made up.
You mentioned your use of the ball. You used the ball tonight. It was really effective, completed so many of your passes. Do you think moving forward, that is the template, retain the ball, use the ball, those little partnerships in the centre of the park?
I feel it's important, yeah. If you look at all the best teams in the world, I feel that the centre mid is, you know, is key. You know, the comfortable on the ball, the not always in a rush, and they kind of play, you know, they play the game at their pace. And I feel that, you know, if you look at our lads in there, you've got the likes of me, you've got Ryan, you've got Dom, you've got Flo, and the rest of the lads as well, who I have a name. I feel that, you know, with the quality and the talent there, that we can do exactly the same. And that's what I feel, that we've got to do more. And at the same time as well, you know, is I'm a Scouser, so I feel that the four games that we lost, you know, it hurt me more than them lads. I'm not saying it didn't affect them, but, you know, as I'm a fan from a kid, so I made sure that, and tonight, you know, that I just run first of all. I try and bring like an energy in the team that the lads have to go and press. I was vocal more on the pitch. I just made sure that, you know, that we came away with a win. And obviously all and then all the other lads obviously played their part with the goals and the assists. But overall now I feel that, yeah, we're back on our up.
Just finally, you mentioned Florian a couple of times there. What is he like to play with, and how pleased are you with the way he's gradually getting more involved in the team? He's got a couple of assists tonight. He's everywhere on the field. He's always an option for you.
I say it all the time about Flo. He's one of them lads that if you don't think that he's good, then you don't understand the game. And obviously he's being bought for a huge price tag. That's not his fault, obviously. And everybody expects goals and assists. We do as well, obviously. But in terms of what he brings into the team, you know, if you're somebody who understands the game of where he goes and moves, and he might not actually get on the ball, but it helps me and Dom. You know, as he moves, then a lad has in his mind to stay with Flo, or do a jump on the six, you know, stay with Flo, then it means that then I'm free. And that's just the smart things of how he plays. It's a matter of time until he starts to get his goals and assists there. You know, you just see, and then he just that he just got two. And I told him, you know, just carry on. But from the first day, you see, and he had that spark. And the Premier League as well, of course, so, you know, it's a huge change as well. But he's a smart lad, he's an intelligent lad, he's technically, he's unbelievable as well. So, you know, it's a matter of time until everybody sees the real Flo. You see it every day as well when he trains. So, yeah, I just can't wait until everybody really, really sees him. But it's exciting times for us and the whole of the team.
Well done tonight.
Thank you.
Curtis Jones telling everyone straight there on Florian Wirtz. Mm-hmm. Let's go to our Zoom panel. Dan Morgan, you just heard him speaking there. What were your thoughts on Florian and on Curtis as well himself?
Gotta love Curtis, haven't you? No, you know, it was really nice to hear him take on those leadership qualities that he mentions on the pitch. You know, he's obviously someone who watches the game when he's not on there. I thought he was great when he came on at the weekend. He's another player who's, you know, he's talking about Florian Wirtz there, but Curtis also came through playing 10, and he knows how to play further forward. He knows where those spaces are. So, you know, you think about partnerships in this team, which it has to start developing now over the pitch, you know, those sort of couples and triangles that are going to have to start developing for this new Liverpool team to get to where they want to get to. You know, I think Curtis, he's someone who sees the need for that, and he builds them. He's able to go and build them on the pitch. He's so confident on the ball, and he backs it up. You know, one of them players, he goes to the old adage, if you couldn't get it off him in a phone box. And that's because he'll take the ball wherever, he'll keep it, he'll put his back to the player, he'll be able to distribute the ball and recycle it when he needs to. And you know, he's just a very, very smart player who's getting better. So, yeah, brilliant from him. I mean, look, Florian Wirtz, he gets two assists tonight, and none of them are of the quality of the chance he laid on for Mo Salah at Chelsea the other week. So this is just, I guess this sort of goes into some of the ridiculousness about these conversations about him not having any a lot of the time, because, you know, one of them is just a sad withdrawal pass to Dom Szoboszlai, who from 18, 20 yards out just puts it bottom corner. And this is where, you know, in a lot of ways at this level, you are judged by numbers, aren't you, in terms of what your output is. And if you're a player like him who's come with a big reputation, then that's going to be the case. But I think what I've been really encouraged by in Wirtz the last couple of games is he usually tries to occupy a certain pocket in that sort of central, left central area. And I think that sort of area is quite crowded already with Liverpool's attackers. I think Alexander Isak likes to play in there. You know, Alexis McAllister will be in there when he's in the side. I think the last two games, what we've seen, which is really encouraging, is he's just found where the space is. He's gone across the line. He's popped up on the right a lot more. Looks to be having a little bit more of a sense of freedom around that sort of position where he's got the two behind him. So, yeah, it's all to be built on, like Curtis says. You know, I think I'd take a lot of encouragement from the little wry smile he gave when he got asked about Florian Wirtz's ability because they see him every day and they'll know that, like he says, it's just a matter of time.
Kyle, I'll come to yourself finally. Your thoughts on Florian Wirtz, and does it feel like he's taken another step forward tonight, if you like?
Yeah, I do. Listen, I've always, Dan and Gareth, we were talking as we were waiting in the background. I think Wirtz is a player. I think he's had a lot of negative criticism directed his ways and all the memes and things like that. I think his quality on the ball, I think he's created a lot of chances. Aside from that, I think he probably hasn't been able to show as much of his quality in some games where we've overall been poor, and he really hasn't had those high volume touches in the final third that allows him to show what he can do. So I'm really encouraged to see him kick on. It does bring up a question, though. Dan alluded to this, where kind of where he found himself in the field. And I think Jay and Neil were talking a little bit about what our shape looked like earlier and where he found himself. I'm curious to get Jay and Neil's perspective on, as far as, you know, Slot's got his preferred formations in terms of how we line up, what we look like shape-wise in and out of possession. But given what we've seen today and maybe opportunities that Wirtz kind of can get on the ball a little bit more, do either of you maybe see some trends or opportunities or have seen the last couple of games that could maybe allow him to be more of that creative fulcrum that he was brought in to be?
I thought the manager showed tonight that he can change the system. You know, some managers were a little bit, this is my system and I won't change it. I thought the manager showed that tonight because he was trying to find answers, trying to find solutions. He's gone with Ekitike and Isak in the team. It's not one or the other, it's both. I'm going to get you both in, and Wirtz as well. So that's sort of 4-4-2. I mean, for Wirtz, I've mentioned how much I like him. He can play left, he can
you
play
have,
right.
Just a few times.
He's a superstar. He's a superstar. And I can't be, you know, for me to see him on the bench, I find that hard to understand in my mind. Yeah. I get he's adapting to the league, the players and that. But for me, he is a player who can create so much for us. So the manager's got a tough decision to make. I think Dan mentioned about McAllister. McAllister didn't play tonight. Liverpool were brilliant. Salah was on the bench. He looked fuming coming on. So what's the manager going to do at the weekend? Because he's found a system which he may well go back to at the weekend against Brentford and think, like that. May see a couple of personnel change here and there. And whether Wirtz comes off the left, comes off the right, wherever he comes off, I fully expect him to be starting the game. But the manager's got some decisions to make at the weekend. McAllister on the bench. Kirkes was on the bench, Salah was on the bench, players who you would probably expect to have been started. By the way, Andy Robertson was magnificent tonight. So, right, you better answer it now,
Jay. Your turn now.
Listen, I think the manager's got more than one plan for me. I generally think that he has plan A, B, C and D, and I think he can adapt the players to where he wants them to be. I don't think he's settled on his formation. I don't think he's settled on how he wants the team to look. I think he's still trialling things. Where people fit in them slots will just come in time. I think the amount of games that we've got, I think there'll be loads of rotations. I think we'll see Wirtz off the left. I think we'll see Wirtz as a 10. And I think we'll see him in pockets like we did tonight, off the right rolled inside for the fullback to be able, whoever it may be, Conor Bradley or Frimpong, to be able to go on the outside. And I also think that we'll see Isak and Hugo playing together. I also think that we'll see Cody Gakpo rolling inside. So I generally don't think there'll be a set. I don't think it'd be like last season where we kind of knew the manager was 4-2-3-1.
Exactly,
do you know what I mean? I think this season, I think he's evolved and I think he's adapted for the first year that he's had in the Premier League. But I also think the players that he's brought in has also given him license to evolve and try different ways of playing, whether that be in a build-up of a building with a 2-3 and a 5 on the top line. You know, I think there'll be loads of rotations and I don't think we'll see a set way for more weeks than we did like we did last season.
Yeah, it's a headache. I suppose the best kind of headache to have in a way, isn't it, Miles?
Yeah, well, that's what you want. You want the manager to have the competition for places, the tough decisions to make. Last thing we want to be talking about is all the injuries that we've got. You're thinking, right, well, we're going to have to try and get a team out there. I think the one setback tonight was Frimpong's injury. You know, Jay mentioned
I was going to mention that, yeah.
Yeah, well, he got forward really well at early doors. Conor Bradley came on and a similar sort of fullback. So that helped in terms of Conor Bradley being able to adapt. It looked like a hamstring again, maybe. I mean, I don't know how long Gravenberch will be out for. That may allow a little bit of a partnership with Szoboszlai and Curtis Jones, whether McAllister comes back in as well. We'll have to wait and see.
He looked like he was holding, I think it was his right hamstring when he went down, which I think they have actually confirmed that. And obviously just being out for around a month with a hamstring injury, it's not ideal, Jay.
No, it's never nice and you never like to see players get injured. He's
came in, he's probably one that as well as maybe not hasn't had the start that he'd wanted. You know, he hasn't had a regular game time. He picked up the hamstring injury, which kept him out for a month. He doesn't like being off the pitch, you know, being around the building. He's not one that likes to be anywhere near the injury physio room. So he'll be devastated to pick up an injury tonight after getting an opportunity, you know, to showcase himself down that side. I always felt that for Frimpong, we wanted him to receive the ball a lot higher up the pitch, and tonight was a prime example of the first 20 minutes. He was receiving it in the final third every time.
He played against a team he knows so well.
Exactly,
as well.
You know, going back to that way, so it was a huge blow. We hope it isn't a long-term hamstring. We hope it's maybe just a knock for a week or two. But I felt what was good is that we could go like for like. So with obviously Frimpong coming out, Bradley coming in, we didn't have to change our system. We kind of just replaced him with Bradley, and Bradley offered exactly the same what Frimpong could offer.
Shows the depth of the squad. Yep. Right, we've just been chatting about the boss. Here he is now. Arne Slot is speaking to the gathered media in his post-match press conference.
Hi, Arne. After a tough few weeks, was that the perfect response tonight?
Maybe, yeah. Although I saw a lot of similarities with the last few games we've played. But I also saw some differences. The similarities were that we already created a few chances before we conceded the first chance. We conceded was immediately a goal. In the end, it turned out to be the only chance we conceded today. Why was that? Because we went 3-1 up. So then it's easier to control the game than when you're 1-0 down all the time. And I've sat here a few times telling you guys how important set pieces are, how important the balance in set pieces is. And now we were able to score two, so you go with 3-1 up at halftime because you score two set pieces. And that is a big, big, big difference than if you don't score them and you go at halftime 1-1 with still the same amount of chances, but people would judge us definitely different when you don't score them. And the biggest exception for me was, today compared to the other games we've played, was the playing style of our opponent. So we got also some energy out of the moments we could press them, which in the last four or five games we played, we were not able to press the opponent because the ball wasn't on the ground, was through the air.
Sam?
It was in the air, not through the air, in the air.
Hey, Arne, you made some big decisions in your selection, so leaving out Salah is always going to be something that people take note of. And also the performance of Ekitike, he looked superb tonight.
Yeah, the first goal he scored was special. You can see his pace in a moment like that. These are all were also moments we were hoping for. Like I said before the game, we were able the last few weeks to create many, 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 many chances. But unfortunately, not always able to score them. And today with Alex and Hugo, I brought two players on the pitch who are usually able to score goals. Alex was a few times close, but had to go off at half time. And that's, it's not something you ask, but that's the difficult balance we are having with him. So when he came, he hardly had trained. So you bring him step by step forward, and then you feel like there must be a moment where he can play twice a week. And the first time we try, he did this in Sweden as well, but the first time we try, he has to go off, and that's hope. That is not that bad, but he has to go off because he felt his groin. So many people probably wanted me to play him more, and we had to find the balance, and unfortunately today that balance didn't work out for us perfectly, but let's hope for the best. Both of them did what I was hoping for, making runs in behind, making sure you're a big threat, and both of them did well.
Good evening, Mr. Slot. Hello. After 10 minutes, you had a long conversation with Dominik Szoboszlai on the sideline. What was the topic and how did you see his performance today?
The topic was that my team and myself watch 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 games of the opponent. And not once they've played like this. So we were expecting a 4-3-3, maybe with a winger and a 9 press. We were expecting a 4-4-2. We were even expecting a 5-3-2, but we weren't expecting a 5-2-3. And that's what they did. The good thing is it's quite familiar for us because Palace plays it, United plays it, Burnley played it. So I had to adjust a little bit how we wanted to press. And so that was what the conversation is about. Dominic, again, had a good performance since I'm here. He's one of the players that maybe after Virgil and Mo has played the most minutes for me. And that tells you what I think about him.
Hi, Arne. Could you just give a bit of detail on Jeremy's injury and what it is? And also, you mentioned, Isak, you're a little bit aware that he was close. Was he in the red zone before the match?
No, if he was in the red zone, we wouldn't have played him. But you try to prepare players for once a week football. But if you are Liverpool and you play every 3 days, or normally 3 times in 8 days, but we've been quite unfortunate this season that we have to play 3 times in 7 days. Then you try to prepare them for that program, which is not always so easy if you don't have pre-season. So that's what we tried to do. And we thought he was well prepared for that, but the margins in the top are small. And I'm hoping that this doesn't have to be that bad, because if he would be out now for a few weeks, that would throw him back or put him back the way, I don't know how to say it. So let's wait. Jeremy is a hamstring issue. So came back from a hamstring injury a few weeks ago. Played for a national team, one game. Came back to us, and now unfortunately, after 10, 15 minutes, I don't know, he had to go off.
Hi, Amit. Sorry to go over Isak again. So it's Alexander Isak. Yeah. You said he had a groin problem last month after coming back from international.
Last month?
So after
coming, did I say that?
Did he come back from internationals?
No.
In September? So this is a new injury. He's on his groin tonight.
Yeah. So he did not come back with an injury. No, I said that he missed out pre-season for, and didn't train for a long time with the team. So he came at the 1st of September. So we had to bring him towards once a week, and now we've tried to bring him to twice a week, which he did for the national team. But he was perfectly fit when he came back from the national team, and he was perfectly fit before the United game. And we were expecting him to be ready to play again today, which he did, but he felt his groin indeed a little bit. Yeah.
So obviously he's missed pre-season. Is it possible for a player to catch up? If you've missed the whole pre-season, how long will it take? Could it take weeks, months to get him fully fit to where he needs to be?
I don't think there's a rule that every single player has the same, but it also depends on what did he do when he didn't train with the team. What is the impact if you go to a new club as a big signing? So you cannot compare maybe a player that hasn't trained or played in pre-season at a smaller club than if you go to Liverpool. So there are many factors that you have to take into account, and there's not one thing if it's possible or not. I think we did exactly what was needed. We were really careful of him. Swedish national team in the first time as well, and they played him twice last time, which he could do. So not criticizing at all the Swedish national team, because we actually told them that he's ready to play twice. So it's a thin balance. If you missed out on preseason, and some march through it, and some unfortunately get injured again.
Cheers. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, the boss will go home happy, of course, with the win, but slightly concerning news there about Alexander Isak. He said he felt his groin and obviously didn't play the second 45, Jay, your thoughts?
Yeah, it's never nice news again, like the Frimpong one. We don't want to see a player go off injured, whether it be our team or the opposition's team. So to find out that Alex has obviously picked up a little bit of a groin, we hope it's stiffness, because he was able to finish the half, so we'll try and take a positive from it. I did feel it was maybe just a case of looking towards the weekend, but we obviously now found out a little bit more. I'm hoping that it's more of a stiffness than more than feel something that's going to keep him off a long length of time.
Yeah, we'll wait and see on that one. It is Brentford this weekend, another hard away game, Mel, isn't it? A reunion as well with some familiar faces, Jordan Henderson, Quaveen Kelleher as well.
Yeah, Carvalho.
Vandenberg,
yeah, the list goes on. But I thought Brentford would go down this year. I thought they'd really
you
struggle.
You weren't alone with that, I don't think.
Well, they lost the manager, and I thought the manager is absolutely superb, and he's doing all right at Spurs. They lost the captain, Norgaard.
Gone to Arsenal.
Went to Arsenal. Lost the two main centre-forwards in Mbeumo and VC, thinking, how are they going to cope? How on earth are they going to cope? And
you know, Igor Thiago, he's come in, he's scored a few goals for them. So they've managed to replace what they've lost, but I don't think replace the quality level of what they have replaced. I still think they'll be in the bottom six, fighting to stay in the league. They've had some good results, I think we have to say that. Expect it to be a difficult game because the fans will be up. It's a Saturday night game, an evening game. I think a few years ago we got turned over in an evening game. We've done all right down there. You know, last year, okay, we left it late. Nunes got a couple of late goals. Year before, we beat them convincingly. I think the lads will take great confidence from tonight. They really will do. Knowing that we're going up against a Brentford side who maybe aren't the same level as what they have been in recent seasons, but it will be a difficult game.
Yeah, we'll bring our Zoom guests in to briefly have a chat about this one. Gareth, a good platform to go into it off the back of a 5-1 win. How do you assess this Brentford game? Is it a challenge for Liverpool?
Yeah, I think Neil's spot on in that, you know, the spotlight, there's a bigger spotlight on a sort of an 8 o'clock Saturday game and under the floodlights and all that kind of stuff. We know that sort of always helps with the atmosphere and, you know, their fans will have a couple of pints and things like that, and that'll help with the atmosphere as well, no doubt. But I think he's right in that, you know, their stars fell a little bit. They sold a couple of players that maybe not the force they once were. And I think we can go in there bouncing now. You know, you can see the manager, the demeanour of him looks a lot brighter now. You imagine the same's going to be when they're travelling home tonight and when they're training, you know, leading into the weekend. So I'm expecting Liverpool to go there and do all right, do well. I think this is tonight's hopefully the turning point. And then after Brentford as well, we've got a little run of home games as well, haven't we? So, yeah, I think the players and the manager will be aware of that. They'll look to go there, be front foot and win the game. Fingers crossed for them that that's the case.
Yeah, Dan, I'll come to you. Important, wasn't it, to get back to winning ways, because it can be a tricky place to go to.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, it's going to still be a tricky fixture. But I'd probably go back to what I said at the very top. Hopefully Liverpool can get the scoreboard on their side, because you just don't want a situation where it's frustrating for us and then they're taking 2-3 minutes out the game to set up throw-ins and the ball's in play for less than half the amount of the game. So you'd imagine that those sort of physical tactics will be employed. But, you know, Liverpool are going to have to be strong, switched on, concentrated, good on the ball, all the things we've seen tonight. And hopefully, you know, they can take everything from tonight into that one.
Kyle, very quick word finally from yourself over in Kansas. How are you feeling about Saturday? More confident after tonight, I imagine.
Yeah, I'm one of those fans. I'm always a little nervous heading into most games, but I think more than anything, I'd like to see tonight was a brilliant performance aside from the goal. I'd like to see us, result aside, just put in a complete performance. I think that's been probably the biggest frustration. As much as it was brilliant to score a lot of those late goals early in the season, we obviously got the flip side of those the last couple of weeks. I just want to see us put, you know, solid 90 minutes together. We don't have to be perfect, but maybe just show what we can do like we did tonight. So hopefully we'll see that on Saturday.
Come back to the boys in the studio. Just quickly from you, Jay, on Brentford. Strong at home. I think I'm right in saying only Manchester City have beaten them at the G-Tech, and that was only 1-0.
Yeah, I can see it being quite similar to tonight. I can see them sitting in, maybe with, like, you know, like a bit of a low block, because I think against Manchester United especially, they only done them on the counter-attack with a long ball over the top. So Liverpool are going to have to be switched on. I think the manager prides himself on stopping counter-attacks. It'll be a difficult one. It'll be full of set pieces, full of long throws. Glad that we've been successful in a few of our own tonight to give them a little bit of a thinking as well. But we're going to have to be switched on throughout the 90 minutes, because any time they get a chance to put a ball deep into a box, you know, any long throwing they can do, any set piece they can do, they will throw it in. So we're going to have to be ready for a fight first and foremost, and we're going to have to build our way into the game. But hopefully I'm expecting us to go there and with our ability to go and get a positive result.
A weekend where other sides have got tough fixtures as well. Arsenal take on Crystal Palace, City go to Villa, who are banging form after a really, really tough start, Mel. So it can all change very quickly.
Yeah, let's hope Palace play like they did against us and give Arsenal a proper game down there. But yeah, I mean, we've just got to concentrate on what we can do, get back to winning ways in the Premier League. This was great tonight. Really enjoyed it. Back to winning ways. End this run that people have been getting a bit giddy about. Now we're back to seeing the Liverpool we know.
Okay, thank you very much indeed. It's been a pleasure to have your company this evening. That is it from myself, Neil Miller and Jay Spearing, and of course, our guests on the Zoom as well, Dan Morgan, Kyle Miles over in Kansas City, and Gareth Roberts as well. A big thanks to you for your contributions tonight. For now, though, it was a five-star performance tonight in Frankfurt. The Reds winning once again. It's been a while, but it feels pretty good, doesn't it? That is it for this episode of The Reaction. We will be back at the weekend after Liverpool's trip to the GTEC Stadium to face Brentford in the Premier League. Until then, if you haven't done already, please do give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts to make sure you don't miss an episode when they drop.